I was preparing this lesson, I was trying to think of what I was going to talk about. And if you know me, if you follow me on like social media, Facebook and Instagram, you see that I post a lot of personal finance things. And, you know, I try to tell people to get out of debt and to make a budget and to live on less than you make. I try to get people to think long term for their kids in college, to avoid the student loan debacle. I want you to leave your kids a legacy. And all this kind of stuff goes into a financial plan. And one of the most overlooked parts of a financial plan is a will. Most people don't want to do a will because they think that as soon as I do a will, I'll die, right? Well, you're going to die anyway, so you should do a will, right? So almost 60% of Americans do not have a will, right? Almost 60%. So that's kind of what I want to talk about tonight, not a financial plan, but more of a spiritual plan. And it's funny how things work out. When I was working on this lesson, my mom called me to help her out. About 40 or 50 years ago, my grandpa bought some land in Texas. And in 1987, he died, and that land passed to their kids. Now, if my mom was the only kid, things would be simple. It'd all go to her. But grandma and grandpa had 14 kids. Talk about a baby boom, right? So 14 kids. So this land gets broken down. Each kid owns 1/14 of this land. And to further complicate things, 8 of the 14 have died. So their land gets further divided by the number of kids that they have. So my mom is trying to sell this land, and she doesn't want me to deal with it, but I'm dealing with it, right? So this whole week I've been trying to figure this out. So I've learned more about inheritance than I thought I wanted to know, all right? So that's not even part of my lesson, but we'll go into my lesson right now. So there's an article written in 2008. It's about a college kid in Germany named Sergei. He was a normal college kid working to put himself through college. He was making about $240 a month. He's college poor, you know, I've been there. Ramen noodles and, you know, been there. One day he got a knock at the door. And he looked through the peephole and there was a man with a suit and a briefcase. Sergei let the man in to talk, and the guy brought him some bad news that his uncle had died. And Sergei thought he was kind of weird because he only met the uncle once about 10 years ago at a family reunion. So it turned out the man was a lawyer, and he informed Sergei that the uncle had no heirs. And back when he was a child, like I said, he met the uncle at a family reunion, and he left such a great impression on the uncle that the uncle decided to leave Sergei his entire inheritance. And the lawyer told Sergei that he was worth now $975 million. Right. Sergei went from being broke, living on $240 a month, to now being worth almost $1 billion. I don't know what happened to Sergei after that. The story doesn't continue. I don't know if he finished college. I would have dropped out right then and there, right? I'd have been done, right? We do learn two things from this story. Number one, be nice to your uncles, right? Be nice to your uncles. Secondly, you have to believe that an inheritance like that could change everything. It could change your entire life. Your entire life would be radically different. Well, I've got news for you. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you're a Christian, believing in Christ, his work on the cross and the resurrection to forgive you for your sins, you're going to receive an inheritance one day. The Bible's a little vague about it, but God, if God promises an inheritance, then you probably know it's better than $975 million. So let's look at this inheritance that God has in store for you. In Ephesians chapter 1, we'll start with verse 7. It says, in him we have redemption through his blood for the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Paul says that in Jesus you have two things, redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of your sins. Verse 8 continues, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he has set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Again, that was Ephesians chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. So what the Bible just told you and me is that not only does God save us from our sins and restores us back to himself, but he also wants to give us an inheritance. You don't just obtain salvation, but an inheritance also. And that ought to excite you, but it should also produce some questions. It made me ask some questions. And I want to spend this time tonight to walk through some of these questions that I asked myself and answered myself. So the first question is, why? Why does God give us an inheritance? You can turn to Galatians chapter 4 and wait for me there. Galatians 4 and wait for me there. It would have been enough for God to just, in his love, to save us. Scripture says we sinned and have fallen short of his glory. Before he saved us, we were enemies with God. We ran from him. But he came in his grace and gave us Jesus. But he didn't stop there. He gave us inheritance as well. God doesn't just want to save you from your sins, but he also says he wants to make you his son or daughter. He wants you to be in his family. Galatians 4, chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are his sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Verse 7 says, so you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Not only does he forgive you, but he also makes you his son or daughter. Not only his son or daughter, but also an heir. If you receive an inheritance because you are the son and daughter of the king. But not all heirs are created equal. Like I mentioned earlier with the story with my grandparents, each kid of the 14 gets 1/14 of that land. And once they die, their kids separate that land into more divisions. Heard a story on the news the other day about Aretha Franklin's family. I think she died about a year ago now. And apparently she died without a will. And if that's the case, each of her four sons would inherit 1/4 of her $80 million estate. And that would have been pretty simple. But apparently one of the sons found three different wills tucked away in the sofa, in the seat cushions of the sofa. And according to the reports, most of the three wills, the most recent of the three wills only included two of the sons. It left the other two sons out. And you can imagine that causes a whole lot of controversy in the family. So it made me wonder, what kind of inheritance will I get? You know, what kind of heirs are we? If you turn to Romans chapter 8, we'll find out what kind of heirs we are. Romans chapter 8, verse 15, it says, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Verse 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. You are a fellow heir with Jesus. That means we're not getting just any inheritance. We are co-heirs with Jesus. You're not a second-rate heir. You're not the B-team heir. You're not the red-headed stepchild heir. All right. Everything, if you're in Christ, everything that belongs to Christ is one day going to be yours. Everything Jesus is going to receive as his inheritance at the end of time, you will too. You are a co-heir with Jesus. And if that's true, then it begs another question. What is this inheritance going to look like? We found out that we're getting an inheritance. We found out we will be co-heirs with Christ. God adopted us into his family. But what is this inheritance going to be? It's interesting that the Bible is kind of vague about the subject. It only gives us a little clue. And I think that's because the English language can't translate how powerful this is going to be. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, but as it is written, but no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Nobody can even begin to imagine what God has prepared for those he loves. We get a couple more clues in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. It says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy. He has caused us to be born again and to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 4 says, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. Peter tells us four things about this inheritance. We're getting it in heaven, not on earth. It's imperishable, it's undefiled, and it's unfading. And that's great news. Imperishable. On earth, everything you receive is going to be perishable, defiled, and it will fade. Any inheritance you receive here on earth will get old, it will get spent up, it'll get used up. You can't take it with you when you die. Our lives are like a game of Monopoly. We get the board game out, we get in the car or the thimble. I personally like the boat. I don't know why. Maybe I'm in the Navy. I get in a boat. I go around the board a couple times. Along the way, I make some money, pay your taxes, try to stay out of jail. Amen. Huh? You acquire some property. The problem is, at some point, the game ends. When the game is over with, no matter how much money you've made, how much property you've acquired, you got to put the game back in the box. Doesn't matter if you got hotels on Boardwalk or you're collecting rent in Baltic Avenue, right? The game will come to an end and you got to put everything back up. Our life is just like that. You'll go around this thing a few times, but there's coming a day when you die, everything perishes. Your inheritance is also undefiled. Everything we get on this earth is defiled. Sin is involved with everything on this earth. Have you ever noticed that nothing is really truly able to satisfy you? We have the idea that if we could just get that one thing, then I'll be happy. We work hard, we focus, we do the neglect of everything else, and we finally acquire this one thing, then it's just life. Then we set our target on a new topic. If I can get that one thing, then I'll be happy. And we get it, it's the same process. So we work harder to obtain things only to realize that it doesn't fulfill your deep need of your soul. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes that God has placed eternity in the hearts of man. Not just in the hearts of Christians, but in the heart of every man. The reason nothing on earth can truly satisfy us is because non-eternal inheritance can't satisfy an eternal longing. Finally, our inheritance is unfading. Our inheritance on earth will fade. Everything you acquire will fade. When I was in Seattle, I was teaching a finance course, and one of the students told me that the grandpa feared the banks. He didn't trust Wall Street, so he took his money, millions of dollars, and he buried it in the backyard. And then one day, they tried to dig it up, and they just had dust, right? All these millions of dollars had just eroded away. It's fading. Yesterday, we took a trip to Temecula to see my uncle. He lives up there. And we're driving on 15 North, headed to Temecula, and this yellow Corvette comes from behind us, and it zooms past us. Vroom. You know, the kids get excited. Anything Major sees that's yellow in sports, like he calls it Bumblebee from Transformers, right? So Bumblebee comes flying past us, and they're up in their seats. Ooh, ah, look. You know, they start making the car noises, vroom, vroom. And you got to tell them to shut up, you know, I'm trying to drive. But they were so excited by this. It must have been a 19 or 18 yellow Corvette. They were so excited. And about 20 minutes later, 25 minutes later, we're still driving. And this time, I'm passing up a Corvette. It was about 20 years old. The paint wasn't as new. The bumper was kind of, you know, it wasn't cool no more. And I tried to get their attention. I was like, look, Bumblebee. Major looked at it. Major said, aw. Right? Ooh and ah turned to That's how your inheritance on earth is. It will fade. Scripture promises us our inheritance is going, the inheritance we're going to get because we're in Christ is imperishable. You won't have to put it back in the box. It's undefiled. There is no sin in it. You'll get to enjoy it, and it will satisfy your deepest longings of your heart. It's unfading. The day you die and wake up in the arms of Jesus, he gives you himself, and you're going, just like the kids did, ooh and ah and wow. 3 billion years later, it'll still be ooh, ah, and wow. And I can't wait for that. The greatest clue we get from the Bible about our inheritance and what it will is found in just a couple verses later of Ephesians chapter 1. I'm back in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. And it says, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee or the pledge of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it. The word pledge or guarantee in the Greek is arabon. I think I'm saying that right. It's a common term used in business back in ancient Greece, meaning a down payment. It was a little piece of the whole price as a promise that you're giving them a piece now, but you will come back and pay it in full later. The Bible is saying the Holy Spirit is the arabon. The Holy Spirit is the down payment for your inheritance. God has given us the Holy Spirit now, but he'll come back later and take us home and give us him forever. We get a little taste of that inheritance is going to be and feel like through the Holy Spirit. Some of the most amazing moments in my life have been when I'm aware of the presence of God through the Holy Spirit. My salvation, the day I believe, the day I surrendered my life to his will, the times when I'm in the closet praying, talking to God, nothing comes close to the presence of God in my life in the way that it feels. I never feel more at peace or at home or more joy than in those moments when I know that I'm experiencing God's presence. Nothing, not money, not sex, good food, not your birthday or holidays or Christmas vacation, nothing compares to the joy you feel in God's presence. We get a little taste through the Holy Spirit now, but God promises that there's coming a day when we will get to experience the fullness of his presence forever. I don't know what our inheritance is going to look like, but I know Paul says that no eye has seen it, no ear has heard it, and the heart of man has not imagined what God has promised for those who love him. The question I ask for you today is, what's in a name? The world will tell you that the inheritance is for everybody, that everybody will get it no matter what. The world will tell you that names don't matter. The world will try to intertwine Allah and God as one person if it's the same thing. I read a book and the woman, she refused to say the word God. She kept saying source energy. To the world, it doesn't matter until you mess up their name, right? When you mess up their name, then all of a sudden, names matter. We know that names matter. If I looked at my wife Monique and said, Sharon, I love you more than life itself, she would test that theory, right? It would get real hot real quick, right? Words matter, names matter. There is a benefit to being a Martin kid. To wear the last name Martin comes with certain benefits that other kids may not receive. My kids can get access to the base. They can tour warships. They can watch movies for free. All my source of income is directed at them. The Lorenz kids have a benefit that the Martin kids don't have. The Gibson kids have a benefit that nobody else has. Right? The same is true with God. Wearing the name Christian has benefits with it that other people cannot get to. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says, it tells us that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. From this passage, we learn that salvation is not only found in the name of Christ, but we also learn that it is only found in Christ. Salvation is only through Christ. The inheritance that he has planned for you is only through Christ. I would encourage you tonight to get your financial plan in order, but more importantly, I ask you to get your spiritual plan in order. We have a song that we sing. It says, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. If we can help you in any way tonight, please come forward while we stand and sing.